Welcome back to the Barbershop, NBA Finals Edition. I am your host, Mark Gray, and the gang is all here once again. Let you know it's going to be a special show. I got a good feeling about today's show. Today I got one of my original co-hosts, TJ's in the building.
Yep, and I'm also known as a guy that don't know squat, because I can't predict what the hell is going on in these finals.
And then the second best basketball player in the Barbershop, DeMar Johnson. How you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. What's up? What's up?
And, of course, the man that nobody still figure out what exactly he does, he's over there right now. A1, how you doing, buddy?
I'm great, man. Glad to be here.
Touching stuff. Nobody even, what is he doing, TJ?
A1, I want the folks to know, the end of the show, it's not a demo. It's not a recording. It's actually going to happen.
Let's get it out the way now.
It's actually going to happen.
Download it on iTunes.
You got smack it, too. AP.
And it's on the app store on the Android. It's called the Android store, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you can get that out the way now early. And get your emails in, too. I got like 4 emails, so we got to get to those, too. Because we got to... Yeah, everything's good?
I mean, it looks good. I can't hear it through the headphones.
Okay. Emails, mg@playersvoice.com. Or always on Facebook. You can hit us up on Facebook, playersvoice.com, and get your questions out. So I got like a couple emails. We'll address those later in the show. I got a lot of NBA to talk about, and a couple other stories that we can start off and get out the way early. One story that to me is kind of odd is getting no attention, and I actually heard an argument on it on a local show this morning, or excuse me, on Monday. And Serena won her 20th major, and that got like zero attention, like at all. Whereas though, when some shows, it was like the 9th thing on the rundown, if that. Do y'all think that Serena is getting the respect? And even when they mention her, the people will say, it's like they've already determined that she can't reach a certain level of greatness. And they'll be like, she's never going to, they mention names that she's either already passed or well on her way to passing. And it's like, for some reason, when I hear it, to me personally, it seems like there's a racial undertone to it. Because I don't see how you can possibly look at Serena and not say she's the most dominant tennis player. And I mean, she would rank up there in one of the most dominant sports figures of their time.
I kind of look at it twofold. I think part of it is, you know, no matter how you slice it or, how you like to look at it, there's always going to be racial undertones in when you're talking black athlete attacking records that were set by
in a white sport.
And so there are always going to be those undertones.
White sport.
Well, not a white sport, a sport that was dominated by people other than African Americans. So with that said, there are always going to be those undertones. But I think more importantly is tennis has lost its star power. Therefore, and it directly correlates more to the men. And it's not a man driven sport because there are definitely women that could kick plenty of guys' asses out there. But because the men's side is so, it's three guys.
Right.
I mean, it's been three guys for the last 6 years. Andy Murray, Federer.
I was surprised you even put Murray in there.
I'm just throwing him a bone. Federer and Nadal. And then after that,
now you have Djokovic.
But
they never even at the same time.
By the men's side being, not the headlines that tennis used to be, then it loses its luster all the way around. So then you go into the women's side, and I can be quite honest, there are only like about 2 women players who I'd really tip my cap to. And that'd be Serena and, what's my girl, Nike?
Sharapova. And I mean, no, the knock on what everybody says is that, the lack of competition.
It is.
And I know DJ will agree with me because we were having this conversation in another sport about basketball and the time gap and whatever the case may be. So, DJ, I know you'll agree with me on this one. You can't seriously watch Serena play and think she wouldn't wipe the floor with those people back 30, 40 years ago.
Absolutely, I think so. And
you
and
think she would just wipe the floor?
I think she would.
Right.
And even now, I don't think it's a big story because it's like, I mean, who's going to beat her? I mean, it's just normal. She's winning and we expect her to win.
But she's accomplishing
things. It's not a big story.
She's accomplishing things that otherwise would be celebrated. Like people, you know what I mean? Like if anybody breaks these milestones in any sport, when my The Kentucky Derby. Nobody cares about horse racing. Well, here, it's a huge thing that this guy did this Triple Crown.
But here's the thing, MG.
20 majors.
Here's the thing.
Right. Or what? The Grand Slam.
As you even talk about the Triple Crown, where 20 years ago, that Triple Crown will be the leading story mm-hmm. on newspapers today.
Right.
And that thing was on the back page the day after it happened because of the lack of, back when horse racing was, there were these moniker named horses that people followed for a long time. And what's gone, and by no fault of Serena's own, is that tennis just doesn't have the star power that it once had. Your commercials, there were, you know, times where you had Agassi on the Cannon commercials. You right. had
it, Sampras.
Chan.
Steffi Graf. Michael Chang.
Yeah, Michael Chang. You had so many different stars that competed. And when you would watch, you know, that final pairing or final, you know, couple, the semifinals, there were always four players that you knew.
Right.
You know, it was never wondering, you know, I wonder if Pete Sampras going to end up.
Jimmy Connors. What's the guy who was always the guy with the curly hair?
McEnroe. But you go, so now in tennis, you don't have that. And I think what happens with Serena is that she's winning. You expect her to win. It's a bigger story when she loses. It's a bigger story when she drops out.
Bigger story when she loses. Every time she loses, it's a story.
It's because it's that deficient of star power. It's that deficient of competition from, this is just from a novice eyes, and I'm no tennis aficionado, but this is just from my perspective looking into it, is that I feel like she should dominate. I'm not saying that's no great feat in itself because she is dominating, but I feel like she should. And it still should be celebrated. You're right there, but remember this, man. It's about what's going to drive the needle. So if there's not the stars in the sport to promote the sport, then no one's going to talk about it because it's not going to be something that people are going to ring the bell on.
Because when Djokovic is beating Nadal, you know, they had a story about that, but then Djokovic turned around and lose his other kid. I don't even know his name. Right. Nobody said nothing about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know the kid's name.
When I went and looked one day, I was bored and I went and I just went to read. Matter of fact, it was something set me off about Hingis. And I was like, you know what, let me go look at it. Because I remember all the hype about Martina Hingis back in her day, and then definitely she just fell off the planet. So I was like, let me go look at Hingis's stat lines. And I was just reading her numbers, and then I was like, she was the best player in tennis for like a 5-year stretch. And I said, you know, let me pull up Serena's. And I was looking at her resume, and it was unreal. Like, the amount of records that she's broken, the amount of tournaments that she's won, her dominance. She's currently on week 231 in a row of being ranked number one. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there's no sign that she's going to be number one next week and the week after that too. You know, there's no signs of that slowing down. It's just, I remember you asked me what makes me care about a sporting event, and I told you what makes me care is greatness. And I feel like we are witnessing greatness that I'm not so sure there's another pipeline of it right behind. You know, the perception is that her and her sister were close. And when you look at their resume, it's not even remotely close.
No.
Like, not even remotely close.
No. But they were, at a time,
there was a 3-year stretch where they rotated every major.
But at a time,
Grand Slam,
kind of like with Tiger Woods, what they meant to the sport of tennis, mm-hmm. not just to the African American community, but to the actual advertisers, to Nike, what it meant to have them on commercials and things. I mean, you got to go into those kind of things to say, well, why isn't it celebrated? Because I can't tell you the last Serena commercial. I can't tell you. I don't even know the last tennis player. There was a time where I could just recite commercials and right. ads and things. They aren't there. And there's a reason why.
I feel like there's a rejection. We'll move on because it's not a tennis
show. Right.
But there's certain coded words that you hear. And when they talk about the greats, I think people reject the fact that she's so physically dominating. Like yeah. they say the other greats and they say skill. She doesn't have the grace,
yeah.
the skill, the finesse.
She's power. She's LeBron James of the game.
She's LeBron James of tennis.
Yep.
You know, and I think that people have already determined that because she's dominating and what they assume to be one-dimensional, because don't get it twisted, she still does have the grace of and the nimbleness of other athletes as well. They'll just never accept that.
And absolutely.
People reject the fact of what she's done to the game. Just like, we'll spend 1 second on this, just like, remember DJ, we were talking before the Floyd fight, that out the blue, outside the line, decides that they want to bring up a story about Floyd's past with arrest and domestic violence. And you see that they've done that. The same thing, again, sitting on a story that's been out there for years, And then the day before the World Cup female stuff starts, all of a sudden there's a Hope Solo story out there about her domestic abuse and stuff like that, and whether Hope Solo belongs on the soccer field. And now with the Hope Solo story out there and the Brittany Griner story out there, it's almost starting to see like there's a double standard for male and female domestic violence and acceptance in the sports world.
All right, now we're about to get on some thin ice here. So, ladies and gentlemen, sharpen your skates, because this one like the fish. This one could get slippery. Let's not go too deep into it, but let's just say this. There is a double standard.
Okay.
And in my opinion, there should be a double standard for this reason and this reason alone. A man can truly, truly dominate a woman physically if he really wants to. And that's as far as I'll go with that.
That's for Hope Solo. Right. Not for Griner.
That's what I was going to say.
She's an exception to that double standard.
That's fine. But it's not like
putting her hands on a female. She should be treated like the same way a man would be.
She put her hands on a male. She should be treated.
listen, when you go and you look at the Griner situation, I mean, old girl split Griner's lip. Griner scratched old girl's face.
If Griner's name is Daniel Griner, yeah, she's kicked out the league.
But this is the thing, though. It wouldn't be Daniel Griner versus Stacey Johnson. It'd be Daniel Griner versus Johnson. You're so right. That'd be Michael Sam and his guy going at it. And that's a totally different dynamic. Right. Now, let's take it a step further. If Brittany Griner or if Hope Solo had stabbed her husband. Let's go with that one. Let's go. Didn't kill him, stabbed him in a domestic dispute. All her enraged, mad because stabbed him. It would be a different repercussion for Hope Solo than what you're seeing right now. Same thing with Brittany Griner. But because that dynamic of female on female, and there are these other moving parts in that dynamic that exists.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same as a simple domestic. I mean, because you go into the NFL and you go to guys that get into misdemeanor or battery charges or out in the street and they punch another guy's lights out. That happens all the time, right, brother. And there are no repercussions. So it's kind of almost like that in the Brittany Griner case, because she punched another female who just happens to be her spouse.
Right. The one football story, got an email from Jason, who is a avid 49ers fan, and it's a good question. What the hell is going on out there? People are like retiring at a record pace. Like, I've never seen that before, that players, Pro Bowl players, people in their prime, right, people in their 20s, just dropping.
Had a theory about this about a month ago. And my little brother, Brandon, he is a 49. I mean, he is the mascot. I don't know if you remember that commercial where that little dude gets to go into the locker room with Patrick Willis and he's got on that little shiny. That's my brother. That's my little brother. And you started to hear this from the Niners players, and just go with me on this one, okay? This is my conspiracy theory here.
Uh-oh. Is that interesting?
When you start to hear about players complaining about Harbaugh, the monotony, how he pushed players, how he challenged players, it started to make me think that he was pushing guys, and not so much in a you gotta play or else, but pushing them and challenging them in a way to say, you need to be out there. You need to be out there. You should be out there. And promoting the kind of physicality and practice that I think a lot of guys took some unnecessary punishment. I mean, it's no coincidence. This is not.
I feel like it had to be tied to Harbaugh some sort of way. I was thinking that too.
This is just me, man.
I wasn't sure how.
He's an intense guy. I doubt if they're running when they're saying no contact practice out there. Go, hey. Two hand touch. Keep that in mind, guys. Dante Whitner. Keep that in mind. This is two hands.
Yeah,
I doubt that. I mean, just look at his personality. And then you go down the line of guys. Like, what offensive lineman goes and says, "Hey, I got to take a year or two off for my brain and body to heal."
Yep.
Like you're 25 years. What? Yeah. Eric Reed says, even though he came out and said that
he tried to backtrack
his words were misconstrued. Dude, listen. You know what you? We know what you meant. Right. Chris Borland. I mean, all these dudes are saying. And I think it directly correlates to the 49ers brandish a physical style of football on the field, on offense and defense. It's not like they pass the ball on offense and then on defense they're like, they're the Chicago Bears. Right. It's like on offense they're like
they're grounded pound.
You know, they're 4 yards in a cloud of dust, And on defense, it's the same way. And I think that physicality, day in, day out in practice, and I kind of feel like Harbaugh may have been kind of that Thibodeau effect where, yeah, it's a shoot around, go tape it up. We're doing walkthroughs.
Tape it up.
I know I said shells, put on your thigh pads. Yep. For what? We're cut blocking. And walkthrough? Yeah. And I think that had a play in it.
What say you?
I mean, Harbaugh's not there anymore. So right. I don't know if I can really put that on him. I mean,
that's why I was saying I'm trying to. The regime is still there, though. I just feel like it has to be some sort of way.
Jim Tom Sula is still there.
If you know he's gone and your worry is about he's putting too much on your body, then you're happy he's gone,
right,
and you'll be excited about right. the year. That's I don't think I that you would want to retire. And as far as you saying the way they play, like, I mean, Pittsburgh's been doing that since we've known him. But them guys aren't just up and just retiring.
But what you do know about Pittsburgh, and here's why I'll spin it, is it's notoriously known that Mike Tomlin is a player's coach. And Mike Tomlin will go to guys and say,
mm-hmm.
yeah, you know what, James Harrison? Power it down. And I'm thinking that early on, if
he says power it up.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, Harbaugh says power it up.
And I think that early on, when the 49ers were going through this coaching carousel, and they were deciding, I think there were a couple guys that they wanted that the defensive players saw and the defensive players wanted. And I think that Jim Tom Sula, from what I, this is just outside looking in, he looks like the same kind of Harbaugh kind of guy. Like, he seems like he doesn't know a lot about media. He's like, yeah, Twitter, I don't know nothing about that. Just want to come out, suit up, put on your helmets, play some football, we're going to run down field.
So if you don't say the Harbaugh thing, which I made the jump too. It's the first thing that crossed my mind, because we've seen so many things, and I've seen so many HBO specials, and just the players talk about them, and it's like, they walk right up to the line of being like, this dude's an animal and unplayable, you know, unbearable. So they walk right up to the line and stop right there, I guess, because they were trying to be professional about it.
Yeah.
What say you, though, Slim? Because I'm interested to hear, and I'm open to other theories, but something has to be going on there.
I mean, I think it's just, I mean, I guess bad luck. I mean, guys get old, and guys get injured, and it just happened to be on that team.
But they're getting 23-year-old guys walking away.
I mean, three guys under the age of 25 walk away from football. Two guys and a third guy talking about walking away from football.
I mean, you willing to buy that that's all coincidental?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that a coach can just – away from the game that you love to play.
I agree.
That's you making money for, and he's gone.
But do you have
and you still theory? Feel like you leaving?
I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying, do you have an alternative? Do you offer?
Well, isn't that what happened with Tiki Barber? And didn't Tiki say what's his name killed his love for the game?
Coughlin.
Yeah.
I mean, Tiki, he was coming off the best 3 years of his career.
Yeah, he was 30. And just
yeah.
Left in the middle of
yeah.
His,
he was 31 years old. But what Tiki, he was like,
oh yes. Big time, because he tried to come back like 4 years later.
Yeah. But what Tiki was just saying, I mean, yeah, I mean, on Sunday, everything's great, but you don't know how my body feels
right.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I mean, that's just a toll that he's taken over his career. I don't think it had nothing to do with coach.
I just feel like there were the hangover pieces of a Jim Tom Sula, who I think was probably a direct, you know, branch off of the Harbaugh tree as far as personality and even when you hear him talk about how he thinks the brand of football they should play, it sounds like Jim Harbaugh. I just think that style and that constant level of competition without break is something to be said. I mean, I don't know if you guys, not to switch topic, but the same topic, Kerry Williams chimed in one and had a nice piece where he talked about how Chip Kelly not runs his practice physically, but the cardio position that he puts on his practices are like, and he's like, dude,
that's why I'm exhausted.
He's like, and he goes, you know, late in the season, we were out conditioned by teams, not because we weren't in condition, because we were tired from trying to get in condition every single Saturday for Sunday.
And none of them guys were tired. I mean, retiring is not the answer. I mean, you can ask for a trade. I mean, there's things you can do. You just don't up and quit football.
Something is over there killing football.
It's killing the love.
Something's over there killing people's spirit, though. It just,
and they're a winning team.
So it's more. So it's more than that.
There's something in that
it's
water.
Something,
because
man.
You're right. I do agree that you don't. In order, something Slim. If you play a sport and you love it, and that's what you did for your entire life, and you still do.
And you still.
For something to make you say, I don't want to play it anymore, it would have to be something big. Like something would have to be going. If you Melo and J.R. Alls is like, yeah, it's not for me. something would be going on.
It's not going to be because we were running suicides.
It wouldn't be that, but it would be something.
If that was the case, we would be like, man, look, we even need him out of here, which he is out of there.
right.
We need to get out of here.
Yeah.
So now he's gone. Now what's the, why retire?
I don't know. Maybe you sucked him out of there before you left. Maybe it was just drained.
There's
maybe
something else going
maybe
on.
Maybe it was one season too late. Listen.
There's something else going on with them guys.
Might be.
But listen.
Might be.
And then you're also ignoring the fact that Justin Smith, who, if you watched him play last year, you clearly could see he had another year in him. He probably had another 2 years in him.
Yep.
And he decides,
I'm good too.
Yep. I just think it's, you know,
something's going on. I think we'll find out though.
Yeah.
I think we will.
Oh, don't worry. Outside the Lines will be all on that by Thursday.
So, yeah, somebody, it'll come out. Somebody at the end of the bench is going to have a tell-all story.
Yeah.
And, it is what it is. All right, let's get into this NBA Finals. And I'll start right off with the question I asked you guys last time, and you both emphatically told me, nobody. And I said, who's going to have a coming out party? Said, nobody. Everybody's. You don't care because I mean, you don't count.
Because you don't even have our stats
right now. In the words of Dame Dash, you don't even have a microphone.
What are you talking about? But I told you. I said, who's going to have a coming
out
party?
You're going to make me
vomit,
man.
You said
maybe Harrison Barnes. Certainly is not having a coming out party.
Certainly not.
Don't you say he's having a coming out party, man?
Let him say it because we're going to address this.
I don't think.
Is this table made of pure wood? Or is this wood and fiberglass?
Don't get me wrong. I'm not on the deli bandwagon. But that is the definition of a coming out party. Like he's
how can you not be? Like you can honestly say like they're up two games probably. Well, obviously LeBron, but he's the second most influential player in the series right now.
Okay,
he is. I mean,
wait a minute. So Tristan Thompson's 15 and 16 rebounds.
Tristan Thompson went into yesterday having 4 points in two games.
Wait a minute.
It's more to it than stuff that's on the stats, but
that's fine. But you can't ignore the fact that a man plays 41 minutes and gives you 2 points.
Dellavedova scored 20 points this last game.
Mm-hmm. You think Steph Curry couldn't have used those 20 points?
Great.
I don't think that's a coming out.
Hold on, someone has to score the buckets.
But the thing is, they don't though. Because you know you don't. You watch both sides of the game and Harrison Barnes would disagree with you.
He's just not shooting the ball well.
Right.
If he makes those shots.
Right. So we can say anybody can make that shot, and then you pull up a Golden State box score and you say, obviously not, because these guys are missing shots like it's no tomorrow. You think that it's easy to say, man, he only made 7 out of 12 wide open shots. You think that Steph Curry and the Golden State wouldn't welcome Harrison Barnes making one of his 8 wide open shots?
Draymond Green 2 for 10.
One of his wide open shots?
But that is not a coming out party to me because he doesn't have a backup point guard behind him. So if he has to play 40 minutes.
TJ, I don't know if you know what a coming out party is. When you walk in and nobody knows who you are, and then you're the starting story.
How can no one know who Matt Dellavedova is when just a series ago, he was talked about as being this pest, this nuisance, this guy that's going to harass Steph Curry.
So you think the leading story on sport. If you don't think that that's a coming out party, that you go from an afterthought. And when we did a preseason, when they talk about stories. Dellavedova was not a story. You're debating whether he's good or not, and that's not the argument.
Smoke.
That's like saying Tim Tebow was not a story because he's not a good quarterback.
He's definitely a story.
He's trending on Twitter. Like he's the number one trending topic on Twitter. But he's
TJ
not
has left. Party. TJ has left the building.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't make any sense. If a guy
doesn't make any sense,
probably had 100 followers on Twitter, and then you're trending on Twitter. That is the definition of a coming out party.
I agree 100%.
That is the definition. Jeremy Lin had a coming out party. Nobody knew who the hell Jeremy Lin was, and then he became a household name.
So what made it, what moment? Was it 20 points? Was this coming out party? What was his coming out party? Exactly, in your mind, what defined his coming out party?
When he's the lead story on SportsCenter.
No. I'm talking about his feet on the basketball court.
That's not what coming out party is about.
SportsCenter doesn't dictate your coming out party.
It does.
Not in my opinion. It's about your production on the floor. So you're telling me before.
This is the same man who said that star power is more than just what you do on the court.
It is. So star power and coming out party is two different. You're moving the basket now.
No, I'm not.
You can't take it from 10 feet to 20 feet. I can't jump that high, baby.
Okay.
What was his basketball feet?
Okay.
That made his coming out party.
I'll tell you in 1 second. Matter of fact, A1, give me his numbers and let me know the increase that we've had in numbers. Let me know what he averaged. On the season, or even for his career.
How about we just go to the first four games? Let's go to the four games of this playoff.
And what he's average for the season right now. If it's maybe doubled.
What do you mean? You're going to get that tomorrow anyway. You're not going to get that information now. I don't even know why you're asking for it.
Okay. Go ahead.
What did he score? What did he score in game one? If you just A1, if you could just start there. Let's go game one, game two, game three.
All right. 30 seconds. All right.
All right. So I'm going to give you some good elevator music. Here's something, little thing you didn't know.
Go ahead, DJ. What do you have to say?
Name is Edward.
What do you have to say, DJ?
Thank you. Well, I lost my thought. Yeah, I went back and forth so far, but Dellavedova, after the first game where everybody was, you know, going crazy, I felt like he didn't do anything that I don't feel like nobody that watched Cleveland knew.
First game, he didn't score. Looks like.
I didn't think that game he two? Didn't do anything that nobody 9 didn't points, know I think. That he already
go to game,
can do.
Can you go to game two?
He was a pest. He go always been two. That. That's why he's in the league to do that. And I didn't feel like that job was a hard job for him to follow somebody around. And not to mention, all he said this himself.
Yeah, 9 points.
He's getting a lot
game
of
two,
help. 9 points.
Game three.
They're doubling off the screens. He's getting a lot of help. Only thing he's doing is being extra physical. Our last game.
Run that back again? 0-9-3. So let me do my math.
0-9-20. Yeah, 20 games.
0-9-20. So if I just do some short math here.
Right. So let's, hold on. Let's stay with that topic. Zero. So if a guy scores 0 points, that means he's in, right? If he scores 20 points, is his production bump up a little bit? I'm not a math major, but is 20 points more than zero?
So a little bit.
If you scored 0 points, that would mean you are a non-factor in the game.
No, you can score zero. We just told you Tristan Thompson scored 4 points in two games and a huge factor.
He was a factor.
Defensively, he's always been because his job is to pester somebody.
So now that he scored 20 points, he's a non-factor offensively?
No, he had a great game. He had a great game.
So
you're turning one game into three games.
No, that's when he came out. It's a 7-game series. One game.
So
one great game.
Let me ask you this. So if Thursday he comes out and he scores 7 or 9 or goes 3 of 12 from the field and gets 8 points, then what do you say?
Well, honestly, the way it started was his defense on Steph Curry game two. That's where.
I mean, his defense goes all the way back to the Bulls series.
Hey, if you want to say Dellavedova's a non-factor in this series,
I'm not saying he's a non-factor. I'm saying a coming out party is somebody that's stepping up to score 14, 15 points. I mean, he's scoring 9 points a game? And that's a coming out party? I mean,
a guy who averaged 4 points a game and he averages 10 points a game, that would mean you doubled your, Slim, was that not a good playoff? If you doubled your production, a guy in the finals doubles his production, that's not a good point? Anybody, it doesn't matter whether you average 10 points and you score 20.
And he's the only point guard on the floor.
And you doubled your production.
How many minutes he's,
I mean, if you quadrupling your minutes, then you should.
I mean,
double your production. I'm not taking away. I think he's done a great job. I mean, especially yesterday when, you know, he actually hit some shots. He was pretty aggressive. I mean, he took 17, 18 shots. He was pretty aggressive and, you know, he made shots. He got his confidence. But, you know, before that, I just felt like they hyped him before he had 20 yesterday just because
9 minutes.
Steph Curry went 2 for 15 from three. And Steph Curry going 2 for 15 from three. I mean, he's still getting them shots off. They just not falling. I just don't feel like, I feel like Dellavedova's doing, I've seen him score 20. He played well against Atlanta. I said in this barbershop that Steph Curry would much rather have,
Kyrie Irving
than Dellavedova. But I mean, he hasn't done anything that I didn't know he could do already. I mean,
so
he's in the league because he can play defense and he's going to pester you. And he's, you know, he's not.
So game one, he plays 9 minutes. Game two, he plays 42 minutes. Game three, he plays 38 minutes.
I mean, he's.
Should he not have?
He's playing well. I'm not taking that away from him.
He played 0 minutes to scoring. Yeah. That would be coming out, DJ. I don't know if you realize that if you played 0 minutes and then you played 38 minutes, that alone would be coming out. You're coming off the bench
Could it be David Lee? Who I would say that could be a coming out party because as soon as he step in the game
into the series, I don't. And as a matter of fact, I've been saying all year, and DJ can back me up on this. I don't understand why David Lee doesn't play more. I've been saying that all season long.
Here's my definition of a coming up. If David Lee turns around next game and scores about 16 or 17 points after going 4 of 4, 5 of 5, 11 points, 4 rebounds in about 13 minutes, he comes out next game and gets about 15, 16 points. That's a coming out party to me.
I want to say he has to win also, though.
I agreed. I mean, that's a portion of it.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on in this series. I mean, but I guess the most surprising thing, I guess, is, you know, Dellavedova.
Is it Dellavedova or is it how cold overall
Dellavedova.
That Golden State is, how poor they're shooting the ball?
The lead story going
is, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on.
They haven't been in 60 points in the fourth quarter going to the fourth quarter, this whole entire series.
We can move on from that topic and get into actually what we're seeing with our own two eyes out there in the court and swinging around on a couple of different topics. And I think there's a lot of things. One, for me, I'll do it in pecking order, and you guys can go. One, LeBron looks that thing that we've all been saying was missing, that was separating him from Kobe and Mike, it's there now.
Agreed.
It's his offensive arsenal isn't there, but that this is, I'm here to handle my business, that's there. He's there to handle his business. And that's it. He looks like question? A guy who's not leaving without
can,
his ring.
Can I ask you this question?
Mm-hmm.
How can you guard LeBron James when he's allowed to do some of the things he's allowed to do offensively? The way the game is officiated now, I know back in the day we used to say, you know, Mike got phantom calls, but at least there were calls where he's not agitating the contact. He's not throwing an off arm and then fading. He's fading and maybe he gets nicked or a slight touch or somewhere on the elbow or, you know, something that you wouldn't say would really distract him from shooting. I'm watching LeBron going to the paint, throw his off arm out to clear a guy out and then shoot a hook shot. And then may get a foul called while he's attempting the hook shot. I don't know if it's, you know, how back in the day people used to say the most difficult player to referee was Shaquille O'Neal I don't know if it's that dynamic because he's that physical, he's that difficult to referee, or is it that
he's putting his head down.
Could you, if they called that every time, it would like drastically take away from his game. I'm just trying to figure out because as a basketball player and talking to other basketball, professional basketball players, everyone to a man says, that's an offensive foul twice on Sunday. And if he's allowed to get away with that, how can you guard
him? There's no way to guard him.
That's all true. That being said, getting back to what I was saying, LeBron is dialed in. And on the flip side, Steph Curry and Golden State look like a deer in headlights out there. Like, if there's no debating who's been to 5 championships and who's never been to a championship.
No doubt.
The whole Golden State team looks like a deer in headlights. Draymond Green, who's been getting, and it's welcome, he's been getting a lot of praise throughout this playoffs. They are daring him to shoot, and he seems to have zero. How many times did you see yesterday in the game? He's wide open, and instead of taking his shot, which probably wasn't going to go in anyway, he decides to run full speed ahead into
Mozgov,
who jumps. He's just standing there. He's dude. I'm 5 inches taller than you. I don't have. And if you're just going to keep running into me, fine. If you're not feeling comfortable with your 3-point shot, but I mean, you can take 3 steps. They're not guarding him. They're not. They're letting him have his shot. They're letting Harrison Barnes have his shot. And Golden State looks like they can't really seem to get their rhythm, and Cleveland just looks 100% dialed. And I kind of agree with Steph when he said LeBron's 40 points is not. Now it sounds crazy and saying, you know, that's not what's killing us, but it's like if one guy wants to take 35 shots and he makes 40% of them, we can live with that. But it's the other things. We are not, we can't go 0 for 8. We can't get out rebounded. We can't do all of that type of stuff. And I agree with him. While LeBron is having a phenomenal box score games, being swept under the rug is the whole didn't score any in overtime and in fourth quarter in that game before. And there's just a lot of veteran, non-veteran things that I'm seeing. Slim?
There's a few things with that. I mean, as far as, you know, the way they got LeBron, it's like LeBron is, you know, having, you know, a pretty good series. I mean, his stats is unbelievable. Right. But at the same time, it's like, he is taking a ton of shots. And Iguodala and him not doing that bad of a job because he's taking a lot of shots. And if you take a lot of shots, I mean, you're going to score. But at the same time, they giving him the same look. They allowing him to be totally comfortable. He's playing one-on-one. They ice on him every single play.
Now, when you're saying, are you saying the individual defender? Or are you putting this on the
This is the team. This is their plan.
Because I would argue, and you can agree or disagree, I would say that it's easy to say so-and-so, this guy has scored more points than anybody in 2 games. The people who are defending him, he's lighting them up. I would disagree and say that Iguodala and Draymond Green, individually, they're not doing that bad defensively on LeBron, individually.
Right.
So what you're saying is, in agreement with me, it's saying that the team is letting LeBron get comfortable with their defensive strategy.
Their defensive strategy, I mean, LeBron is the best player in the world. And as good as a defense as Iguodala play, sometimes, you know, they let him dribble, get all the way to the middle of the paint and just fade away. And you can't do that. We talk about him being up there with Michael and with Kobe. Michael and Kobe don't face one-on-one ISO for 40 minutes of the game.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's, you're not going to be able to stop him when you just letting him play one-on-one. Point. You got to give him, even though he's a great passer and they got shooters around him, you got to take your chance. You got to sometimes double him, sometimes don't. And you can't give him the same look. I mean, he's too comfortable right now.
I agree. In Golden State?
Golden State. I mean, we just get nothing out of, Green, Barnes, and, Bogut. But like you say, I mean, I say the same exact thing with, Draymond Green. He's wide open off the pick and roll. They doubling Steph.
He's tripling Steph. Steph is, they are mirroring that dude. Right. Something serious. Dellavedova's on him, LeBron's behind him, and Mozgov is behind him. Right. And all three of them go wherever Steph Curry goes.
So he misses a few shots. Now he don't even want to shoot it no more. He get it wide open a few times. He pass it right away. One time he got it pass right back to him, open again. He passed it away again. And I'm in the house like, this the dude? Are they talking about, they about to give him max contract too? And one of them times when he drove against Mozgov, I feel like Mozgov, he jumped forward. He didn't jump straight up. He knocked him to the floor. It should have been a foul, but still, he looked really scared. And Harrison Barnes looked really scared also.
He looked scared to shoot. Yeah. Draymond, he looked very scared to shoot.
He looked very scared to shoot.
He just kept running at the basket when it was, I mean, I guess, you know, they say attack the basket, and he took it literally. Like, he just kept going to the basket, and it's like, dude, you have a wide-open shot.
Right. And if I'm Blatt, I'm not giving, just like they know, I'm not giving Curry open looks. As a team, we're not giving that to him. That's why, I mean, Dellavedova's doing a great job, but as a team,
right,
we're not giving Curry open looks. So that falls
on him. When he brings the ball up the court, like, when they're inbounding the ball to him, they're mirroring him. Teach.
That's going to fall on Green and Barnes.
Mine's about a 3 or 4 part soliloquy. no pun intended. I'm going with DJ this is a clear out. This is ISO here with how you're guarding LeBron James. I think Steve Kerr has tried to relive his Jordan days to say, yeah, I remember that used to be the plan with Mike is you let Mike just play one-on-one and don't let the guys around him score. But I don't think he's really realizing that there was still a flash double team here. Get it out of his hands a couple times quickly. I don't think you're seeing enough of that on the fly adjustment out of the Golden State defense. I think LeBron James is doing whatever the hell he wants to do. He's playing. I mean, I'm not even going to go there as far as his scoring and his shooting. He's rebounding the hell out the basketball. I mean, what 40, 12 and 8. What else is there to say? And then last game, you know, he even put in 2 blocks and 1 critical block on Klay Thompson. I mean, there isn't, and then a huge steal at the end of the game on Steph Curry. I think that's, you know, that was big time.
And a soccer slide on Steph Curry too.
It was a foul, but it still was a missed shot, horrible shot.
You know, wonder where he learned that from.
Yeah.
At the deli. Yeah. That's where he learned that from.
They do that practice before practice starts. They just roll around a tennis ball on the floor.
The next part of practice. Deli, come on up here, show us what you got.
Show us that slide technique. No, the one where you strip the shin guard off. Yeah, that one. Yep, let's go with that one. And then I think, you know, Harrison Barnes and Draymond, they're deer caught in headlights right now, but I still believe that what you saw from Harrison Barnes, sit down Harrison Barnes, I saw Barbosa come in, play some really meaningful minutes. I think the worst thing that could have happened last night to the Cavaliers did happen last night, even though they won, is that they allowed Golden State, when they had a chance to mud hole them, to put them down to close the series door by saying, this is going to be a 25, 30-point loss at home. Yes. They got into actually a little dogfight to a one possession game there at the end, and Golden State and David Lee and those guys and Steve Kerr were like, did we?
Yeah.
Did they
let Steph see some shots going?
Did we just find something?
The whole mood would be completely different if Steph Curry and if the game ended with them on the bench and that score exactly. Just going up and Steph Curry sitting on their bench trying to be like, I cannot figure out what the hell is going on, because at the end he is swaggering.
It's building. And I think the last and most important point of all this, man, is the collateral damage that the Cleveland Cavaliers are starting to take on from playing the intense style of defense, fighting over picks. You got Shumpert, who's re-injured that shoulder that he missed 6 weeks before. Dellavedova, who had to go in to the hospital.
You just got out of the hospital,
you know, or this evening, actually.
Yeah.
And I don't know if, you know, I know you guys are our friends and our listeners are some basketball aficionados. I know they can go back to when LeBron had that tremendous body cramp in San Antonio. And that next game, he couldn't do squat. So then you get the war of attrition going on, and you go, okay, well, if Dellavedova can't give us, it's going to be on a minute restriction. If Shumpert's on some kind of, where do you go from there? Then you start to get the war of attrition. And I think that's where Golden State can get back into this, because if Dellavedova can't give you 38, 40 minutes, who does?
Well, I want to ask you guys a question. Based on that, is there any point where they bring Sean Marion and Kendrick Perkins out off the bench?
Do I think Sean Marion has looked? I think Sean Marion looked at David Blatt going,
"Now you know,
I haven't rode this bicycle in 3 weeks. You clearly told me. I asked you specifically, should I be ready for this series? You told me, don't worry.
We got a Mike Miller spot in yesterday. Yeah, we got James. Was it James Jones?
James Jones. Yeah.
Got a spotting from him.
These guys, James Jones coming in hitting shots.
No, you know when it's DEFCON 8 if they bring off Brendan Haywood. Then you've gone DEFCON 8. Sound the alarm.
Sure, I mean, I think there's something to say just for having a 7-footer in there, just to stand there.
I thought so too, but that's obviously determined not. Yeah. Brendan Haywood is, I don't even know if he's at the games.
Dude, he probably has on a uniform and dress shoes.
Yeah, I think he's got a better shot of seeing Kevin Love out there.
He'll get it like your drunk uncle. Like, wait a minute. Like, what size you wearing, Timothy? Let me try those. Let me get those. But no, I just think
he would probably need to get Mozgov shoes before if he wanted to go out there. I agree with you.
I just think that game four, where, you know, a lot of people are thinking that Golden State took one on the chin and they could be defeated. I actually think kind of the opposite. I think watching that Steph Curry press conference, I think Steph was like, you know what I've been doing? I've been putting too much into the thought of they're doubling me on the screen, and I just need to go back to being Steph Curry. Because one thing that I know that Golden State, what I saw from them in this game, that when they got down 17, I saw Klay Thompson double clutch a three at the top. Like, he was getting ready to shoot it, then he didn't shoot it, then he did
shot twice.
It.
He did that twice.
And I'm like, that's not, dude, you guys shoot the ball, and you guys shoot a lot of no, yes shots. You guys are the king of the, no, Klay, no, yes, wow, great shot. They got to go back, and Steph Curry started, and when that 17-point lead, and he came out, and he peeled off the curl, and he's like three steps off the line, contested, and he let it go, and it dropped.
In game two, Klay Thompson came out cooking. That's when Dellavedova started out on him, and that went south real quick.
Yeah.
And I felt like when Steph Curry was struggling, it seemed like they spent so much time trying to get Steph Curry going that they ignored the fact that Klay Thompson was already going. Like, Klay Thompson was on fire, and he was cooking, and they just kept trying to get Steph Curry involved in the game. And at what point do you, Slim, you can help me out here, what point do you just say, today's not going to be his day, but it is his day, and, you know, keep feeding him? I mean, how does he hit with, like, 27 at half and finish with, like, 34?
I mean, I feel like Klay got his opportunities, but you do want Steph to get going at some point. And they switched Dellavedova off of Klay. So I don't think Klay was able, once he got going, they wasn't giving Klay, you know, the same looks that he was getting the first half.
I also have another thing and this is maybe a detriment to this Golden State offense, is I see way too many times that Festus Ezeli and Andrew Bogut are right in front of the damn rim, and they decide to, like, I'm just going to shoot this out baseline for the 25-footer. Those are easy buckets. I mean, I get it. I get what they're trying to do is, you know, keep the defense moving. But when you get those easy, and I think that switch to David Lee, and what you saw from David Lee's like, why the hell would I kick the ball way out here? And I've got an easy dunk layup right here. Like, what sense does that make?
Right.
I'm David Lee average. I was wondering. I had to go.
He scored 40 in the NBA before. I mean, he's done 40 and 20, I'm sure.
Because I was, it seemed like so long ago, but it's not. Last year, he averaged 18 and 10. The year before that, he averaged 19 and 11. Okay. It seemed like it was years ago. Last year, he averaged 18 and almost 19. It was like 18.7 last year.
Right.
And now he's not even getting, he's getting coaches' decisions.
Right.
Like, you can't even find some minutes for him. And going into this year, he was slated as the opening day starter, ended up having a hamstring injury. Draymond Green was not supposed to be the starter. Draymond Green played well. And then it was, how are we going to work David Lee into the rotation? And then they just never did at all.
Yeah.
I don't really understand that.
But you know what, MG? This could be, if it works for Steve Kerr, he's going to be praised for this. This will be, he saved him. This is how it'll turn out in the media. He saved him. He brought him out at the right time, kind of thing. But in my opinion, I'm like, he should have been playing the whole playoffs. Like, right now, because what I do see from Golden State is, I know where 20 is coming from. I know I can get 20 apiece from the two out top. Draymond Green, not so much. Bogut, no way in hell. Harrison Barnes, no way in hell. Festus Ezeli, no way.
Keep going. Spates.
Spates, no. I mean, Spates making you a hot 10, you know, with no receipt. But David Lee, as the young people could say, he's a walking bucket.
Yeah.
He can manufacture his own point.
And not only that, if you're going to see the guy that you guys started off with, if Tristan Thompson's motor is going to be running like that, David Lee, he's right there with him. If Tristan's running with a V8, he's running with a V6.
Well, here's my point.
I mean, like, he's got the same motor as well.
Here's my point. If Bogut is not going to get in there, if Tristan Thompson's going to score 4 points and grab 15 rebounds, well, Bogut can't score 0 points and grab 2 rebounds. He at least has to get, at least so, you know what David Lee is. David Lee's, okay, I'm not going to get 15 rebounds, but I can mess around here and grab and score a good 17, 18 points and put Tristan in foul trouble.
And absolutely. And keep him honest on defense. Absolutely. That's part of the reason he's getting everything rebounds, because he's not worried, because these guys are missing shots left. Because
he's looking at Bogut like, I know you could dunk this basketball, but you're going to pass it. I've been telling you to pass it all day.
What do you
guys
think?
They're just a tougher team right now. Cleveland is kind of just bullying them guys.
Mentally.
I mean, you got Mozgov and Thompson just bullying the whole team. They're not giving away no layups. They're shooting all jump shots. They're killing on the boards. And with, you know, Dellavedova in there, that's what I was saying. I think without Kyrie Irving.
I want to go to this.
Love, I feel like Cleveland is a better team. I mean, because I've been on teams. Even the team I just came from in DR, you put together all these guys who's supposed to be scores, but then nobody on the floor is the guy that's going to do the dirty work, who's going to get all the rebounds and loose balls and play defense, and your team's not going to win that way. LeBron is the best player in the world, and you put some shooters around him, and you put the rest of the guys that's going to do all the dirty work, and you can win that way easier. Because with Kyrie out there, you're taking the ball out of LeBron's hand, and Kyrie's not going to make them other guys better. LeBron's making all the decisions right now, and I think that's working out better for the team.
It's almost like you read my notes, and
start crying?
Yeah.
Are you shedding a tear right here?
Because you just made my transition so much easier. And I want
say tabernacle.
It's almost like right now is going to connect the dots that we've been working on. Me, A1, and Slim have been working on for the past since we did the point guard thing, and I want to transition this back to you, A1, and what I've been telling you all along. Now, nobody's going to debate Kyrie's basketball ability. That's not up for debate. He's an amazing basketball player. And me and Slim have been saying this, and I've been saying it to you. I don't want my point guard doing those things. That's not what I'm looking for in my point guard. And I feel like in basketball, all positions need to be done. You know what I mean? So a point guard needs to distribute the ball and get the shooters the ball. And I feel like while Kyrie Irving is a dominant figure, when you take the ball out of his hands, and now the primary ball handler is LeBron, and he's looking to find other people, he's making these other people better.
Well, LeBron's playing point and shooting 35 times a night, though.
But here's the difference. LeBron's 35 shots are not coming down, and he's shooting 35. When he's getting his shots, you'll notice somebody's passing him the ball. Kyrie's 30, and Russell Westbrook's 30, is they come down and they take the 30 shots. They come down there 30 times and shoot the ball without anybody getting the offense involved. Now, when you're watching, and you touched into this going into the series, that it's almost like an addition by subtraction sort of thing by removing a uber-talented shoot-first point guard, and now the offense is going to be run properly. And then I feel like you transitioned as well and say the same thing with Kevin Love. There's nothing to deny. Kevin Love is a phenomenal player as well. But the whole stretch floor, and, you know, while you give up the three-point shooting, you know, Tristan Thompson's in there getting 14 rebounds and being physical and leaving Draymond Green out there and saying, hey, I'm going to be down here and be a bully. And so now what you're happening is you're seeing basketball in the form of the point. There's a distributor, there's shooters, there's power forwards, and there's rebounders. All issues are addressed versus while you're having Kyrie. If you have Kyrie out there and he's handling the ball, it's not the same thing.
So they should trade Kyrie Irving.
I'm not even saying that.
Courtney MG.
Trade Irving and Kevin Love.
You surround LeBron James with 10 Dellavedovas, 1 Tristan Thompson, I get a J.R. Smith to go?
I don't think you win championships.
I think
Westbrook
with Kyrie out
Irving.
There, they don't win these two games.
It's not a myth that they are undefeated without Kyrie.
Hold on. They're scoring 90 some odd points in regulation.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't what's winning this ball game for him, man. It's the other side. It's defensively the way they have ratcheted up on Golden State. That's what's winning the ball game.
They're
man.
Not doing that with Kyrie on the floor.
Oh, now if you tell me Kyrie's not going to be the defender that Delaware, I have no problem with that.
It's both.
But offensively, they're not executing better offensively with without Kyrie. I mean, they're shooting 39-40 from the floor at, you know, 90 something points a game in regulation. Two overtime games are where they got into the hundreds. I mean, but defensively, I'm with you there.
Okay, well, let me ask you this, TJ and Slim. You can answer this. Are you, as a shooter and a player, are you not more engaged defensively if you're engaged offensively?
That is no doubt the truth.
Mm-hmm. If you know that, if you're involved on the offensive end and you know whether you're getting 13 shots right. versus 5, are you not now more inclined to play defense?
Yeah.
I agree.
So that's, it's just a trickle down.
But it's harder to do. Well, to do both. Like, if you're like the main guy on offense and you got to take all the shots and all that, it's harder to really go down there and try to stop also the other main guy. If you just can focus just on defense, like, you know, Della Padova's doing, then you can focus all everything on defense, but then you just getting them extra shots and all that is just extra. You'll be more into the game. You know what I mean? Like you say, if you,
a two guard, a three guard, you are more engaged offensively and defensively with Dellavedova as your point guard than you are with Kyrie Irving, correct?
Yeah.
You yourself.
I don't, because Dellavedova don't distribute the ball. He's not the one that distributes it. It's LeBron James.
But it's not exactly. a matter of whether he,
but exactly. with Kyrie out there, then you got somebody else. He got the ball, so now he got to make decisions.
But how about this?
He doesn't always make the right one.
But then there was the hurt Kyrie who played an off the ball, just spot up kind of shooter, and he excelled in that because you're not going to sit there and tell me that standing still, wide open jump shooter, Dellavedova is a better shooter than Kyrie Irving.
Not at all.
Kyrie Irving is uber talented.
So we're not trading anything off. I mean, so you're saying we're trading Kyrie. So Kyrie can't scale back. Here's my point. You're telling me that Kyrie can't scale back 5 to 7 shots a ball game. And yes, that may help them.
Yes.
Okay. That will help them.
Yes.
And that will make them a far better team than it will with Dellavedova on the floor is what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
Okay. That's what I'm just not.
I don't even want to dare get into a debate of Dellavedova and Kyrie Irving and disrespect that man like that.
It's just about the possession that Kyrie comes down and, you know, he's, you know, dribbling the ball and turning the ball over.
I see you saying.
Some possessions you take away from LeBron.
If he chisels about 5 to 7 shots off his per game production and goes into more of the role where he's letting LeBron dictate and he's getting open shots, open looks, or maybe he's finding somebody for open. I get that part.
Right.
But what I feel like in this series, more importantly than what's going on offensively for the Cleveland Cavaliers, it's totally and I feel like 90% predicated on how they are defending, how scrappy they are to getting the loose balls, and how they're rebounding. I mean, I think that is dominated.
Three of
Golden
those categories
State.
Are right in Dellavedova's wheelhouse.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, sorry, two of those three things that you named.
Yeah, about to say, not rebound.
Yeah, two of the three things that you named, it's his forte.
No, I agree with defensively, but if Golden State, which will happen now, just listen, man, there's a rule, right? And it's called water will always find its level, no matter what. It's a 7-game series. At some point in time, Golden State will find, and it may not be the 110 point level. They're going to find their level, and it may be tomorrow.
It better be tomorrow.
It better be.
Because
I mean,
because
listen,
after that was going
to water will find its
drought.
The water will find its level, man. It always does. I mean, you get guys that go into slumps. It'll find its level, just like we saw Steph Curry in that game. Water found its level. He is a good shooter. Eventually, those shots are going to fall, and then
he's a great shooter.
I mean, great shots,
but
tough shots
for him. Shots, as Kobe said it, when I said this a long time ago, how do you defend the guy that's taking shots that he is comfortable making, right, but you consider tough?
Kobe's tweet last night was perfect to me.
Oh, awesome! It was an awesome tweet.
And saying that
they're not playing hungry.
Yeah, he said they look like a team has got that thinks they got plenty of finals down the road to come. Yeah. And anybody who watches sports knows you ain't guaranteed nothing.
Not at all.
That's what we were saying about Kevin Durant and OKC. Was it 3 years ago? That, oh, they're going to be there.
No, who knows? Now you're talking about KD. Now you're talking about KD might not even be there.
Now Harden's wherever he's at, and right. KD's going to be wherever he's at. And, you know, they may never. It's a very good chance they never make it back to the finals again, OKC.
It's this series is going to come down to one thing for me. Is right now Cleveland's in a V6. and they're pumping that thing red line.
Yes, they are.
They're 5,000 RPMs.
They are higher.
6,000. Yes. I mean, they're packing out.
Yes, they're in the yellow part of the red.
Now listen.
No doubt about that.
The crew chief is on the helmet and he's talking to Cole Trickle, telling him, listen, I'm looking at your gauges. You can blow the engine at any moment.
Right.
And Cole is saying, I got this.
Yep.
Don't tell me what to do. I got this. It's going to be who knows what, because this thing could blow.
It's the only sports show you're going to get Days of Thunder's reference.
Listen.
Man. You love it, man.
Listen. This engine could blow, dude.
Days of Thunder.
Listen. You already saw a piston. Listen, a piston pop yesterday.
Yes, absolutely. Cars in the shop today, as we speak, getting it ready for tomorrow. The cars in the shop.
And they look at that Cole. They're going, listen, man.
You can't ride
this thing. And he's going like this. And ain't but one way to get this W.
Yep.
So that's, I think that is the bigger story. It's like, can they keep it up? Cause all it takes is one letdown, and you give Golden State that wave where they get that confidence, and now you're in a different kind of game.
I think we all picked Golden State.
I picked Cleveland.
You picked Cleveland. So now we're at a midway point or a crossroads here. Where are we going from now, Slim?
I'm gonna still stick with Golden State, but Draymond Green and Harrison Barnes is really gonna be, and Bogut, it's gonna be on them, because well, everybody's saying you like the first three quarters of last night's game. Well, Steph's not doing this and Steph's not doing that. When Steph come off the screen, he's getting double teamed.
Triple.
The basketball play for him to do is pass it to the open guy. That's what he's supposed to do. When you draw a double team, you've done your job. Now, when you pass it to the open man, it's up to them now to make a decision, you know, to shoot the ball or pass it to somebody else or drive it. And the guys that he's passing the ball to, Draymond and Harrison, they're not doing what they're supposed to do.
And I think it's reached the point now, though, when they catch the ball, everybody in the building, including them, which is the most important, knows that shot ain't going in.
I mean, they like, 2-for-18 on open shots.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, when they catch the ball, there's not a person in America who's like, got them, buckets, like, including them. They're like, they don't even want to shoot because they know it's not going in. And I, as a shooter, correct me, do you come back from, I mean, when you reach that point, isn't that when you turn it, like, have you ever even been there where you just didn't want to shoot anymore?
Nah, I mean, I've been in a position where I missed a few shots that I'm like, okay, now, yeah, maybe I want to drive and get to the free throw line or get an easy one and not have to, you know, hoist up so many, you know, but they weren't open shots. I'm talking about the shots like maybe Steph, you know, getting the tough shots
right.
You can't make. They getting wide open shots where
wide
they
open.
Have no choice. But
wide open. Nobody's even running at them.
Right.
They're not, they're requesting that. That's what we would like for you to shoot that. Is it me or is it, while everybody's saying about Curry needs to show something, or this person needs to show something. Doesn't the coach of the year need to show something?
Boom.
Absolutely.
Game of adjustments.
If Steve Kerr
doesn't,
I mean, I'm like,
if he doesn't come with a different defensive dynamic to throw at LeBron James in game four, where I do believe if Dellavedova and Shumpert hadn't just went through this little series or whatever they went through last game, I would have switched my pick. But I'm just starting to see a level of fatigue, and I've watched it in three games now, that no matter the lead, Golden State has still been able to close the gap within like 5 minutes. In 5 minutes, they're within like 6 points. And they've been able to do that every single game.
That took some tough shots, though.
I mean, but it still did. Every single game, I've seen Cleveland here look like it, and Golden State just goes,
right.
Boom, 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 boom.
Right.
Now we're in a different game. And I don't know how long it's kind of like a Levy kind of thing. How long can you keep taking that wave and force a wave before and you're down people that are holding that wall up or people are weak? How long before the levee breaks? Mm-hmm. We've seen a great game from LeBron James, but I want to see that 20 of, you know, 22 of 35 game where I think he's still capable of it. So
I will hope they don't. I mean, cause they playing him one-on-one. I will hope they really adjust that, cause he should have had that game already. Cause they're allowing him to just bully you in the paint and just either get fouled or shoot fadeaways.
So I think you hit the nail on the head with it. You can't let players of that caliber be that comfortable. You know, like you're not sending a double team. And again, even if it's just disrupt him, you can't let him get in his comfort zone where it becomes an open gym shoot around. And he's just doing what he feels like.
Not even players of that, any good player.
Right. But is that
just let them, I mean, they literally ISO every right. single
Is that
player.
Arrogance no by help. Steve Kerr? Because I feel like David Blatt is like, I know that LeBron James could guard Steph Curry. Or I know we could guard, or Dellavedova could harass him on, but we're not even gonna go that route. We're gonna make sure we W just because.
Yeah.
Is that a level of arrogance on Steve Kerr to say like, nah, dude, we just won't.
Well, the difference is you got James Jones hitting shots.
I need an adjustment.
Dellavedova hitting shots. Shumpert hit a few. JR hitting shots. But then on the flip, you got Harrison not, Green not, Iguodala hit a few here and there.
And that's not even what he does either.
Barbosa a few here and there. But you got more guys hitting shots for Cleveland when LeBron decides to, you know, give him the ball.
But is that what I'm just saying? If you're Steve Kerr, is that how you're looking at it? Or are you just saying, I just feel like we have more bodies. And I feel like his initial plan was, we just got a lot of bodies. We're going to go with the, you know, how, the Bulls used to play Shaq, where they would throw, you know, five centers at him and they would just use up 20 fouls. Like, all right, we're just going to go like that. And I think that the arrogance, or maybe the way he's comfortable of coaching or corralling a star player is burning them right now to say that,
right.
Dude,
How about this, and for some reason we don't see it. Why are we not getting any Livingston at the one and moving Curry to the two? To help free, you know, like...
I mean, they
Livingston
tried
is
that.
Actually...
He's playing pretty good. He's playing pretty good.
He's done everything you could have asked for him. Yeah. I mean,
they probably feel like Curry's the best passer on the team also. So.
I mean, they've tried that a little bit, but then last game, with Dellavedova guarding you, when you don't have the ball...
He's face guarding you.
They're not setting great screens. He's fighting through the screens. And Steph can't get the ball back once he gives it up.
When he
brings it down, it's harder for Dellavedova to be as aggressive on him while the ball's in his hand.
What about my man Dellavedova taking that little shot at Draymond's knees?
Yeah, you know, is Kyrie doing that? Draymond set a high screen on Dellavedova. Dellavedova gets right up, knocks him down, and runs Steph Curry right back down. Kyrie Irving's not doing it.
You're exactly right, but I just want to go back to the knee portion.
Yeah. The guy's crazy, man.
Oh, he's crazy.
I'm gonna stick with Cleveland. With Golden State. The thing that worries me the most out of everything, I don't even know if Golden State has been ahead for 3 minutes combined in this whole series.
No.
Every time you look up, they're down and fighting back. You're down, and you can't win. You can't constantly be fighting back. I'm looking for that Golden State game where they lead from start to finish, because that's what they've done the entire playoffs.
No. Actually, they haven't. This series has played out is just how they look. After game three in Memphis, I had Memphis Grizzlies. I'm like, oh no.
No, I did.
Golden State,
two,
I, look,
after
I was like,
game
Golden
two
State,
and three.
Yeah, I was like, Golden State cannot do anything. Memphis is just
I
too
Memphis
physical.
Had them. Yeah, I thought Memphis
they're too.
Had
and then game three, it was a total adjustment and you're like.
Game four.
Same. Right. I mean, but this scenario is almost identical.
In the Memphis series, yes.
Yeah. It's a little different.
Except LeBron James is there.
That and the first game, they beat Memphis pretty bad.
Yeah, they did.
This series, they haven't been able to get that on.
I agree, but I'm just talking about
spending so much time down.
Yeah,
I'm just talking about the grind defensively. How we looked at how we thought Memphis was going to grind Golden State out after game two and three. We said, you know what, the blueprint is out. They're getting ready to grind these dudes right into the ground, and something changed.
I think it's never a good look to just keep banking on.
Hold on. You know what changed? You know what changed in that Memphis series? You know what changed? Tony Allen pulled his hamstring. You know what? Engine started to
before,
blow.
Before that, what changed was they let Tony Allen shoot the ball.
I was just joking around.
They don't have a Tony Allen.
Oh, they do.
Cleveland.
You can let Tristan Thompson shoot. You just can't let him
dunk.
He's not
a guard.
Yeah, but he's not a guard.
I'm joking.
He's not going to shoot. He's not going to shoot any shot that he can't make.
I mean, I let Shumpert shoot it with a bad shoulder.
He won't shoot it either.
Shumpert hit two threes last night.
Yeah, and he also missed the game.
He only took two shots. One for two. Shumpert's not going to get shot. I mean, I would live with Shumpert taking.
Hello,
I'll live with that.
I'm going to Tony Allen route.
Yeah, I'll live with.
We just have to see it. I gotta see.
I'll take my.
I don't even live with Dellavedova shooting. That's why I don't understand why they don't run guys at LeBron. And you got any like you just let them shoot? Guys got to rotate to him.
I can live with Dellavedova shooting.
I just don't need JR shooting it. JR's the only one that makes me nervous.
Right. He's Jones. And Jones also.
And Jones, yeah.
Jones comes right in the game, gets a 4-point play.
He's ready.
So, hey man, Mike.
I don't think Mike's
I know Mike still can shoot. I just haven't seen him make one in a long time.
No, but that's what happened. Was it last year or 2 years ago when in the Heat series? He came out missing his shoe, and then he just came out and dropped like 15 in a quarter.
Came out with a flip flop and a tennis boot on,
and just
came out and just dropped buckets on him like it was absolutely nothing.
And even if the play before the half last night where
James Jones
comes in the game and he's
what
been
is Festus Azili look?
He shouldn't even be in that position to guard. Why? Steve Kerr, hey, timeout, get him out of there.
Sub. Timeout,
I mean,
sub.
I knew James Jones was hitting the three.
Yep.
Bron knew it too. Bron seen it like, oh man, these dudes crazy.
Yeah.
I don't gotta shoot this ball.
No, I'm gonna just stand
here. Here.
Yeah. I said.
That's what makes him great, man. That pass right there, he know the play was for him. He could have drove and got fouled or something. But he's too smart for that, man.
I want to see the David Lee impact. I want to see.
It's about time.
And I want to see the Dellavedova impact because I really want to see if Dellavedova can, because if Dellavedova can't put in those minutes to chase Steph off those screens and stuff like that, it could change the dynamic of the game.
I need to see Steph Curry. That's, jeez.
David Lee.
Steve Kerr. No, I need to see Kerr.
Make an adjustment.
I said that. I guess it was a Freudian slip because I need to see David Lee and I need to see Steph Curry. And that's Steve Kerr's fault.
That's his job. I need to see
him find a way to free up Steph Curry. I need to see him insert David Lee in the game. I need to see him to figure out what are you doing with Draymond? Right now, you need to figure out what we're doing with Draymond Green, Harrison Barnes, and Iguodala. We can't have all three of you out there doing absolutely nothing and scared to shoot. Like, one of you has to come out. Something's got to change.
Somebody got to foul LeBron going to that rim dunking. That's one thing the Spurs don't let him do. You're not getting to this rim. If you get to the rim,
foul.
You're getting fouled. You're not getting and ones. You're not getting dunks.
I mean, Draymond was bringing that block he had on in the, I don't think it was the last game, the game before that. Yeah. That was amazing at the end of the game.
Yeah, it was.
That was a hell of a block.
And he hurt himself doing it.
Yeah, but the offensively between the three of them.
Impressed me, block a shot going to the right hand, not to the left.
Right. The three of them, they need to give you something. Been an amazing finals. I don't think we could have asked for a better final.
Nah, dude. No blowouts. Everything's been within a bucket.
It has been pretty good.
I like it.
Two overtimes in a game that was, I think, 4 points with less than 20, with 20 seconds left in the game.
It's
been an amazing series. We can only hope for that. Before we get out of here, I know there was a fight, Slim.
Yeah.
What do you want to say?
Don Miguel Cotto looked absolutely great. He's been.
I'm getting goosebumps.
Freddie Roach.
I can just tell you, Freddie Roach
has really got that guy.
I'm gonna put my novice opinion in here, or not even just what wowed me was reading that the one guy weighed in
at 183 pounds. Yes,
and was 150 something.
156 at weigh in.
Wow.
Gained 27 pounds.
Right.
And you can't possibly think you're gonna win gaining 26 pounds.
Well, that's what he does, though. I mean, he's a big middleweight.
Yeah, and Cotto's a small one, which is kind of scary for Cotto because they want him to fight Canelo Alvarez. They want him to fight Triple G. When he weighed in at 153.
He said, I walk around at 156.
He weighs in at 153, and your division is 160. You know, I mean, guys be trying to kill themselves to get to 160. And you weighed in at 153.
24 pounds in a day.
Watching that fight.
Think at the weigh-in.
Gave me... I know a lot of people joke around about Manny Pacquiao, but Freddie Roach is a bad dude, man, because it was just about 2 years ago when we were talking about what the hell happened to Miguel Cotto. I know DJ and I, we're big boxing fans, and we were going, you know, my man Margarito ruined his career.
Yeah.
So I was impressed. I want to see it. I want to see Triple G and Cotto. I want to see Canelo and Cotto. I want to see that. I mean, because right now, I couldn't tell you any other fights I want to see in boxing, to be honest.
John, I know you do the boxing too.
I mean, you guys feel any type of way about Amir Khan?
Yeah.
I like Amir Khan. I'm an Amir Khan fan.
To change my muffler, but other than that, the dude he just fought, he went 12 rounds with, and it looked like he dominated him, but he didn't, you know, like,
put him away
or knock him down three or four times.
Out of Amir Khan, and Cotto and, any of them can beat Triple G.
See, I
feel like Triple G is the best fighter in that class.
I feel
right
like
now,
Triple G is
down.
Good, but I don't know. I gotta see him get. I mean, the guy that Triple G knocked out the last fight is the same guy that Cotto just almost knocked his face off and dropped him with a body shot. You know what I do see from Triple G? I see Triple G taking punches. He does, and I don't know if you can take those same punches from Miguel Cotto that you've been taking from the rest of these clowns.
I mean, I would love to see Triple G and Canelo fight.
I'd like that too.
I feel like Cotto is too small for them. Amir Khan is smaller than Cotto. He's in a different division. But Cotto's in that division just by default.
But he has the power to be. See, the thing is yes, he is smaller, but he definitely has the power to be in that division.
He does, but like you say, these guys is, you know, they fighting hard to get 160. He comes in 153.
Yeah.
So he, I mean, them guys are bigger than him. I love Triple G. He's dangerous, man.
He is. Listen, I seen him hit a guy over the backside in the small of his neck and knock him out.
But so is Canelo Alvarez. I mean, Floyd already beat Canelo Alvarez.
That was too early.
He was young. He was young.
He should have never fought. If I was Canelo's manager, I'd have never done that. I'm like,
if he didn't fight it then, he might not have
been. Well, he could have been the last one. He could have been this one in September. It said it's going to be a mere muffler con. And the winner gets 7 spark plugs and some jumper cables. I mean, who wants to see that fight? Who wants to see Floyd's last fight? Yeah, bright lights. Show up to Vegas. Amir Khan.
That Stephen A's been want to see. Who do you want? Is there anybody for Floyd's last fight?
I think you got to either.
Rematch it. I like Khan. I would love to see him fight Keith again. Thurman. I doubt they'll let him fight Keith Thurman.
I go Cotto again. I like Cotto again.
Cotto would be good.
It's got to be a good one. You can't end it on.
Amir, I'm with you. I don't think you can end
on Amir Khan. This dude just fought on Friday night. He fought on Friday night on FX.
Different stuff going on in boxing. Dude, Andre was about to fight on BT.
First of all, and that lets you know everything you need to know.
No, he's and one tomorrow of the best morning,
I'll
world.
Be fighting on Channel 7.
He's fighting on BET.
He's fighting on BET.
Yeah.
He had boxing.
One of the best fighters in the world.
Listen, no. He was one of the best. We don't know if he is now.
He hasn't it's fought
on BET,
a while.
That means it already happened. They don't do anything.
None of that's live.
Yeah, none of that's live.
That happened in Bob Johnson's basement in the bathroom.
Wow. Okay.
Let me ask you guys right quick. NCAA approved the 30-second shot clock for the men's basketball. Any of you guys feel any way about that?
I love it. I wish it could be. They need to just make it 24, really. But at least they made it 30.
As a pro,
35 is killing me. It made me really hard to watch college basketball at 35.
As a pro, DJ, as a pro though, and playing both college and pro, don't you think? Yeah, okay, you played 1 year, but you still played in college. No. Come on, but.
Didn't do much else.
just playing those 12 games, whatever, those 16 games, and we called it a day. But don't you think there still needs to be a level of a differentiation between pro and college? Like, it shouldn't be, I know that the college ball is a lot softer and more forgiving than the NBA basketball, but I'm just talking about some things have to be different. The 3-point line, the 30-second clock. I don't think, just like in college, I don't think it should be the same because you're not a pro yet.
I don't think it doesn't. I don't think it really doesn't have to be, really. I mean, you're preparing to be a pro.
But not everybody is at college preparing to be a pro. Some guys are just there to go to school.
Yeah.
Some guys are just there because of the fact that majority of them. That's how they go to school.
99% of them are actually just there.
It's not like they're kids. They're grown men.
But it's still amateur athletics.
They're not all grown men. They're just 18 years old, 19 year olds out there.
17?
Who are not 99% of the people are not going to the NBA. There's only 60 people per year.
You go to the Army, you're not shooting with a BB gun. I mean,
but in basic training, you're also not shooting your teammates with live rounds. But I'm just saying, as the development, shouldn't there be something to getting to the NBA, or should you
like the NBA and college to be the same game? Like same shot clock, same 3-point line.
I wouldn't mind it at all. I don't think it's going.
I don't like that.
These days, guys are learning how to with NBA guys, playing with NBA guys, and learning their stuff in middle school now.
Absolutely.
I
think the 3-point line has to. I think you have to have a separation in 3-point line.
You can. Some of them guys still want to shoot from beyond the line.
Right, which makes them the pros.
Exactly. Yeah. The guy that's hugging the line.
When you practice that shot every day, the line doesn't become that far anymore. It's far when you're not used to shooting it.
Right.
If you gotta shoot it every day, then you practice it every day. Then it comes just like natural.
I see what you're saying, but it's still amateur. Unless you're going to get paid for it, some of it still has to be amateur. That was just something I thought about. I don't want to put him under investigation, but, let's just say, we're going to sign out on that note.
And that's why them overseas guys be coming over here. They be playing pro at 14 and 15 years old.
The Moody kid.
There's no difference. There's no difference in the lines there. They play in the same rules, same line. And them guys be pros at 14 and 15. Yeah, but
they don't have to go to class in the morning. They're not a biology major and a psych major.
I mean, you
major.
Can go to class, but still, when you go to practice and when you playing your game, it could still be the same way the pros play.
But then that would be professional.
No, it wouldn't. You're not getting paid.
It's even worse.
So I'm doing the job of a pro, but I'm not being paid.
So it's not taken away from your game because you got to move back a few feet to shoot a three, or you got, you know, six less seconds to get your shot off. It's not going to do nothing but help you. It's not going to hurt you.
Okay.
I think there's a difference between you get a lot less of those Rudy college guys that we cheer for when you start making it an NBA
game. And that's what I'm saying.
That you might not have
the amateur athlete that
I don't even want to insert name, but you know,
what do you mean? You can insert plenty of names. Pick one. Pick Doug.
Juan Dixon is not. Juan Dixon,
Dan Dickow.
Dan Dick, you know, I mean, yeah, exactly. I think they're not them if you're playing by NBA rules. I think the three point percentage is drastically less. I think taking that extra 10 seconds off the shot clock changes a lot for a lot of those guys. Just my thought. I mean,
yeah,
because for somebody like yourself,
you won't have expectations when they go to the league.
I think you're looking at it as a pro.
Exactly.
Which is, I can fully understand why you feel like that way because, I mean, you were a child prodigy, so that, I mean, that's fine. You might be able to shoot from 5 feet behind the line in 10th grade, but that's why you're in college for 1 year, not four. You know what I mean? But the majority of people are there for four. Mm-hmm. And that's what I feel like the game is built around people who are going to be there for 4 years. And I think the exceptions like yourself who pass through college are just like icing on the cake that we call college basketball.
Yeah.
They will adjust to it with no problem. Once you know the rules,
you
follow them. I mean, what's the difference? You still got to.
Everyone doesn't wake up in the morning and pee excellent tomorrow. For God's sake.
Don't shoot
man.
Threes.
I mean, that'd be like, you know, a biochemist major. I mean, you know, a brain surgeon would be like, I mean, I don't see why you can't just study biochemistry in second grade.
Yeah.
You pick it up as you pick it up. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if that's an analogy. Just
start it in high school.
It's a matter of shooting the ball from here is two feet.
Pro ball and college ball are totally different.
Yeah.
Anyway, we can talk about that all day.
Yeah.
What does the calendar look like in terms of game wise? Will we get
Thursday, Sunday?
Thursday, Sunday. This could be over before. No.
So yeah.
Nah, I can't.
I mean, they're gonna get one in Golden State too.
They
have to get two more for it to be over.
That's right. So they do have to go back to Golden State no matter what. Okay. Yeah, Golden State, they're not going to do that. So we're guaranteed to have another show with basketball.
Not guaranteed,
not the way Draymond. Draymond Green.
All on Draymond. Draymond,
get on our podcast and listen to this. This don't motivate you, nothing will.
Tabar Johnson talking about it. I heard it all.
Steph ain't going to be able to get off of he not doing
You know Draymond, he plays like he does on 2K for you. He's exactly like he is on 2K.
Y'all max guy.
Exactly. All right. Well, that concludes. This has been a great show, like I knew it would be. And guys, keep those questions coming in. And I don't have to say what to do because we already talked about it at the beginning. But it's on iTunes, so go ahead and download that.
Big thing is subscribe. Whatever you do, just make sure you subscribe.
Oh, that's the important thing. Okay, I'm sorry. Subscribe. If you go on the Players Voice website on the podcast page, there's a button right there that says subscribe. And if TJ and A1 come next week, we'll probably even update and get you guys in the picture because right now, me and Slim, we're the face of the podcast. That's it. That's all I can tell you.
That's okay.
We'll update you and get you guys in the picture.
You don't want all this beauty.
And then next time we put you in the picture, probably never see you again.
That's a lie.
it's probably a plot just to get into the picture and then we'll never see you again. Tune in next week, guys. It's been a blast. And let's enjoy this finals. I want seven games, man.
Seven games.
Let's get seven. You're here. All right. See you next
week. Hold up. When I said Cavs in seven, you act like it was the most outlandish thing in the world.
I did. A1, don't sit and act like you had a crystal ball in your pocket. Okay?
You're useless. Thank you, folks.
Get us some stats.